if we get time or inclination, we'll also go to Matthew 23. But we've sort of touched Matthew 23 before. There's a lot more in there. But let's go to Mark 4 because Glenn was talking about sowing and reaping, so now I guess we ought to go over here. The parable of the sower. We're going to read Mark 4, which is the parable of the sower. And you know the explanation that Jesus gave afterwards, don't you? Everybody knows that explanation. Wenzel has his own interpretation, but categories. So now you know the explanation. So as we read this, and it's not really where we're going to end up. We're going to end up further down. But as we read this, I want you to think about the parable of the sower. Mark 4. Bible's on the back table if you need one. You should try and put it in front of your eyes. He began to teach again. I'm reading from God's translation, New American Standard. And he began to teach again by the sea. And such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into the boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And was saying to them in his teaching. So he began to teach again. Do you pay attention to the things that Jesus taught? And he taught in parables. And you know how Jesus in John 3 says you have to be born again to see the kingdom and to enter it. And how in Matthew he talks about eye has not seen, neither has it entered the heart of man. There hasn't been an understanding, but to you it has been revealed. The parables are designed to be revealed to us, not to the world. When the world scoffs at the parables, it's simply because they're stunned or veiled or ignorant. They can't see anything in the kingdom here. And so when we read this, you already know the explanation. Read it to see if you could have figured it out by the Spirit without an explanation. Because there are parables in there with no explanation. And you want to be a person who gets something from the parable. Right? Listen. Behold. The sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. And it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil. And as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. How do you get ears to hear? As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. I wonder what they mean by alone. Was that like 100 people? Are the followers at least the 70 that were sent out, plus the 12? And he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear, not understand, and otherwise they might return and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they heard the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves. The translators add firm, but Jesus just said none. Not in themselves. But are temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Did you see that before we got here? Did you see that in the first parable? If you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any parable? Jesus is basically saying this is a parable of accomplishment. If you can get this one, you can move on and get others. This is an easy one. This is a starter parable. This is a pretty easy one. If you can't get this one, you're going to have trouble with the other ones. And then he has to explain it to his inner circle. What do you know? And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it, or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you. And more be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day. And the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. Then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. How shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? It's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. So, I want to focus a little bit on 26 to 29. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Remember, the sower sows the word. Now, you've heard about sowing financially, sowing time. But Jesus says this, the sower sows the word. What is a sower? In my view, a sower is someone who sows to live. There are three people, they have this new thing in Springfield here, in Oak Bank, every third Thursday of the month. They have three people cook breakfast, and you can sign up for the breakfast club. It costs $5. It's pretty good. None of this is true, by the way. And and the three people, this coming Thursday in November, the third Thursday, are cooking breakfast. We have Trish Electrical cooking breakfast. Mr. Trush is going to cook breakfast. We have Don Plimmer, the plumber, is going to cook breakfast. He's a good plumber, darn good plumber. And we have Chef Roy, who runs the restaurant, going to cook breakfast. Which breakfast do you want to go to? The plumber, the electrician, or the chef's breakfast? Some of you guys are picking the chef. I don't understand that. Now, that, by the way, is not true. There is no such program in Oak Bank. But my point is this. The sower sows the word. Not the fisherman, not the painter, the sower. He sows. The reason, all these guys can cook breakfast. It's just that some of them don't do it for a living. I know somebody who cooks breakfast at the drive-thru. They don't really cook breakfast, but they get breakfast. The sower sows the word. If you're a sower of the word, that's what you do for your living. You sow the word. Now, this is interesting because we've been talking about the gap between the understanding of Old Covenant and New Covenant, and especially in New Covenant, salvation and kingdom. And he was saying the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. He's a man who casts seed upon the soil. See that man over there? He's an electrician. The man over there, he's a plumber. This is a man who casts seed upon the soil. He's a sower. Who's the sower? The one who casts the word for a living. The sower, when Jesus is talking about the kingdom, sows the word. And there are different results. There are different impediments. There is spiritual impediment. There is personal character impediment. There is worldly impediment. And there's ones who have good soil. They hear the word and accept the word. There are many Christians not quite ready to believe portions of Scripture. Often it's to justify themselves. Who is my neighbor? But sometimes it's because their mind can't get there. How can this be? Those are two Pharisaical answers to Jesus. I've only been at it about 10. But yes, it can be. It can be the traditions and the confusion. Jesus wasn't happy with the Pharisees. We'll get back to Matthew 23, maybe. I don't think so today. He goes to bed, he gets up at night. Goes to bed at night and gets up by day. And the seed sprouts and grows. There are different outcomes. But the kingdom, the portion of the word where the kingdom is, operates like this. A sower sows the word. Was he a sower the third day after he put the seed in the ground? Yes, because sowing is what he does. And the interesting thing about the spiritual realm is that the word is to be there daily. Do you know man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that is coming from the mouth of God. And you're taught to pray this way, give us this day our daily. The manna was there daily. The guy in Psalm 1 meditates on the word daily and nightly. Well, I think I can quit. I think you're getting the idea. So the sower sows the word, I would say, daily. It's the nature of the word. This is the day that the Lord has made. Take no thought for your life, what you eat, what you drink. Your Father knows what you need. And only look at today, not tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Operate daily. Someone's going to get a hold of this and they're going to write a song. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. It'll be a big hit. Now, never mind. Then he goes to bed at night and he gets up by day. In other words, one day after another, he's a sower. But that's all he's doing. He's just a sower. He's not worrying about it. But he's paying attention to it. How do you know he's paying attention to it? Because he sees. He has a level of expectation. He's waiting. Patience, faith and patience. I remember a guy who's just starting his medical practice and said, I guess all I need is faith and patience. sign on a dentist's office. Never mind. We won't waste our time there. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day. What he's doing naturally, he keeps doing naturally. You see, it doesn't matter what you're sowing or what you're doing or what your occupation is. You need to understand something. Go to bed at night and get up by day. Carry on. Carry on. Be anxious for nothing. And the seed sprouts and grows. Do you understand there are things happening in your realm pertaining to you, resulting from your action of sowing as a sower, as someone who uses the word for their living? There are people who do that. There are singers who use the word or their voice for a living. There are people like Linton who uses his words to baffle and confuse, and he makes tremendous amounts of money at it. He does it for a living. Can you believe that? Yes, it happens. And he says the kingdom of God is like men who use the word. You know, there are lots in over there in the born again that can see the kingdom and never entered it. But the kingdom is the people who began to be sowers of the word. They may not even understand the kingdom. But there is a kingdom. And there is a king. And the seed sprouts and grows. There are things that when you begin to operate in this manner, in other words, you begin to be a person with the word for your living. And you go to bed and you get up. And you go to bed and you get up. Like Gwen's still talking about the people who are having trouble with their kid. He put some words out there. And he went to bed and he got up. And he went to bed and he got up. But he was paying attention. And the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The interesting thing, when they came to Jesus and said, Lord, the fig tree, to be King James, thou hast cursed. The fig tree you cursed is dead. And Jesus said, there is in the voice of a person a certain vibration frequency which will affect biological matter in the following ways. No. He said, have faith in God, whoever says and believes. So he didn't tell them how it works. He just told them, you do this and it will be. And if you listen to that and obey it, you will do that and not know how it works. You won't know how you'll put your hands on somebody and their back will be healed. You don't know how you'll say, Lord, I can't do this on my own unless you help me. And then you get it and you're well the next day. You don't know how does that work. Now, we can take a cell phone apart and say, well, we know the electronics and we know what's going on and there's a program and a communication and a radio wave. We actually know how it works if you want to study it. But he says the kingdom, you don't know how it works. J. Just do what I'm telling you. If you do what I'm telling you, you begin to build your house on the rock so that you cannot be shaken. There's a good sermon on our website about that. But you just get established. Deuteronomy 28:11. You will be established. And the seed sprouts and grows. There's something happening in the spirit when you are a sower of the word. When you come under the hearing and hearing of the word, what comes to you? Romans 10:17 will tell you. And if you are in that environment, something is happening. Where is it happening? It is happening in your spirit. You don't necessarily see where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. John 3:8. Okay. Now, everyone is like this. And everyone's invited to the kingdom of God. Where the sower sows the word. Where a man casts seed upon the soil. These are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. They hear and accept and bear fruit. It's happening, but you can't see it. But what did John 3:8 say? But you see the effects of it. You see the effects of what's happening in the spirit. First the blade, something begins to happen where you can see it. Then the stalk. Well, how did that work? You don't know. Don't ask. He didn't say, I'm going to give you an explanation of how it works. He said, do it my way. It works. It is too much, probably, for you to understand on this side. How he himself does not know. He doesn't know, but he's operating on kingdom principles. This is how the kingdom of God is like. It's a parable about the kingdom. And if you understood the word parable, you can start to understand this parable. And if you didn't understand the word parable, how will you understand this one? Because if you don't have a good heart to hear when the Lord is speaking, you won't get it. It'll be snatched by the devil. You'll try it, and it won't work. The first test will knock it out. The first storm will take your house down. Or you'll wander off to the cares and pleasures of life and not produce anything from it. It was not designed to go out and not produce. A lamp is not designed to be bought and put under the bed. It's designed to produce. So shall my word be that comes forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void. It will accomplish that which it is sent to do. It will accomplish. On God's side, it will work. On your side, you'll be one of four categories. Well, how does it work? You want to know how the kingdom works? It's like a man who casts seed upon the soil and goes to bed at night and gets up by day. Try both of those. And the seed sprouts and grows. How he himself does not know, the soil produces crops by itself. The spirit realm, your spirit, These are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word, accept it. Luke says they hear it, they hold the word in a good heart. Your spirit is the soil. You don't intellectually fathom everything your spirit can and will do. You go to bed and get up. But your spirit, if it's receiving the word, will begin to produce kingdom, which is a dominion, an authority, and a structure, and a provision, and a protection designed to take you from born again to heaven. Born again gets you into heaven. Kingdom gets you to heaven. The kingdom is here. It's within you. It's in the midst of you. It's in the inner man, the hidden man of the heart. The spirit is the soil, and it will begin to produce something from the word. What will it produce? What was sown? Corn gets corn. What was the word that you sowed? The centurion that impressed Jesus said, just say the word and he'll be healed. He wanted a word of healing. Your spirit is going to start to produce something that if you're paying attention in the spirit, you will notice a change. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there comes a point where you no longer hope the word is true. You actually start to believe the word is true. In fact, you get to a place where you can actually walk in something that is a simple instruction. You believe you have received, not you hope you will receive. It's a change inside. It's a production that you can observe inside in your spirit. It's like a blade or a stalk. I have received. And then there's fruit, and it starts to come. And you say, I've got it. Well, where is it? It's not in the bin yet. But you can tell it's getting close. You can tell it's getting close. And then, because you're paying attention, because you're a sower looks for the reaping. The profession is sowing and reaping. And because you're a sower, this is kingdom. The soil produces the crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, when you finally click, Peter puts it this way, you'd do well to pay attention to the words. We have the words of the prophets made more certain. And you'd do well to pay attention to them as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns. And the morning star rises in your spirit. When you recognize it in your spirit, that's when that word is finally done what it's supposed to do. What's it supposed to do? What will it do? It will produce. You don't know how. It will produce after its own kind. It will produce. It will not return void. It will produce. All you got to do is be category 4. Category 4 accepts it, is looking for it, and looking for return. And he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I know people who have had their answer and walked away from it because they don't recognize harvest. I'll give you a famous story. I don't know how famous it is. there was a big healing meeting going on. And this was back in the days of the original Kenneth Hagin, not the junior. And they had brought somebody in a wheelchair. And he said the anointing came in. It was manifestation time. It was kingdom time. It wasn't just healing by faith. It was healing by works of power. And people were getting healed. This woman was sitting there. Then he went over to her, and the Lord directed him over to her and said, "Sister, today's your day. Arise and walk." And he said, the power of God, I wasn't touching her, the power of God raised her 6 inches out of the seat. She was in the air. He said, "Push the chair back and walk." And she grabbed the arms of the chair and pulled herself down and said, "I can't." A sower is looking for a crop and is ready in his spirit when it starts to show. He gets more ready and it's time to reap. You'll notice that. You'll notice that. You'll get some oil in your lamp and you'll trim it up. You won't be distracted by the pleasures of life. People think the pleasures of life is going out and buying a Costco hot dog for cheap or something like that. You know, like there are carnal things you can do in the pleasures of life. But there are spiritual things you can do in the pleasures of life. And you don't want to do that either. It's what I call the old prophet syndrome. You better be careful of it. Remember the young prophet was told to go back and not talk to anybody. And the old prophet comes along and says, "Well, I'm here from God. Come in, you're having supper with me." He decided, well, that's just got to be pretty good. He's an old prophet. I'll listen to him. Well, old prophets don't rank above God, just in case you're wondering. And he ignored it. He got killed by the lion. The old prophet actually got a word from God. Not then, but after. When they're having dinner, he says, "Oh, you should never have stopped, you fool. What are you listening to me for? Now God's word is going to come to fruit in your life. You're going to be dead." So the old prophet had to go out and bury him. Bury the guy who made the mistake of listening to him when he should have been paying attention to the kingdom. When the king is talking, pay attention to the king. Immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You want the miracle, but the miracle shows up and you won't take it. There's 11 of them wouldn't get out of the boat. They wouldn't take it. But power was there. There was all kinds of Pharisees and scribes who would not take the healing, but the power of the Lord was present to heal. And 4 guys were harvesting. They carried him on a pallet and opened the roof and let the guy down. Because Jesus was in town. Matthew 23 on Tuesday. If you need prayer, we got time.